First Chronicles chapter 4 is a verse we know very well from verse 9. Now, he was describing a lot of genealogies there, but then he puts an interjection here to explain a principle from the life of Jabez, the experience that he had with God. And he said in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable. Please, everybody say the word honorable.
Honorable.
All right. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mothers called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. The meaning of the word Jabez is son of sorrow. All right? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Now, please, two things I want to highlight from here. Briefly, the first one, then the second one, more importantly. The first one, he said, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. He was a more outstanding person. His lifestyle was different. He did things superior, that is, in a superior fashion, morally speaking now and spiritually speaking, that is, in relation to the righteousness of God, he did things better than his brothers. Now, but Jabez had a background. Please, note this. He was called the son of sorrow. Now, and something is clear. For whatever reason, his background had an effect. That is, that name had an effect on him. Because he had to call to God because he was not yet blessed. There was no blessing in his life. I hope you're following the point. That's why he said, God, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Now, so the first thing is the fact that he was more honorable than his brothers. But second one, more importantly, is the fact that he was called the son of sorrow, which we have heard taught about a lot of times. What I just want to emphasize, in fact, the question I want to answer, or should I don't know whether to title this short exhortation, whether to give it a title, but I want to talk about, are there curses really, you know? I want to talk about the matter of curses again. We should keep on talking about these things so that people can have good understanding of them. And, you know, actually what I want to talk about briefly is the matter of the cure. Yes, curses exist. Let me just go over that quickly again. They exist. They exist. You hear what I said? They do what? They exist. Once my wife and I went to visit a friend of mine, that was a few nights ago, last week or so. And we're talking about this again. You know, I'm very happy that not only am I a black man, I'm a very black man. Do you understand my point? So if I was very fair now, you will say this man is talking like this, that we are not sure whether he's pure black. You get my point? If it's these two people here that are preaching this message, you can be doubting where they came from. But as for me, you can't doubt it. Now, I like it because I can speak comfortably, confidently, and nobody can vex for me. The world thrives on political correctness. So the message I'm preaching, a white man can't preach it. Even if he believes it, he dares not preach it. He can't. Because we will lynch him. I suspect that I, with all the understanding I have, will probably champion the lynching. A white man won't dare preach it. Let me tell you, better believe it. The black man has a spiritual problem. You want to know the meaning of the how to spell spiritual problem? C-U-R-S-E. Can't pronounce it. I'm telling you the truth. The curses exist, my brother, my sister, they do. Amongst the descendants of Noah, one group of them, all right, they're called the sons of Ham. Noah baptized them with a curse. He did. Don't be angry with Noah. Don't be angry. All these ones that has happened just for a few days. That's what the Bible calls the demonstration of God's righteousness. That's what he's doing. In fact, there's one thing I struggled with myself today not to preach that message this evening. You know that if God creates Adam 10 times, Adam will fall 10 times. Not for any other reason than it is crucial that Adam falls, that he might remain perpetually in righteousness. And I don't have time to discuss it now. That's just the way it is with God. If God starts again, say, let's make man again. The day after he finishes, serpent will show up again, and God will fold his hand and be watching. And the woman will collect it, eat, turn around, give the husband, two of them will go into trouble, and God will be looking. Say, in Adam, enter, finish. Yes. And now let's now pull you out. It's very crucial that men enter into first round trouble. It's very crucial. It's part of divine order. Aye. Don't hang me. What I'm telling you is the truth. Now, why does it bother? Why does it not bother God? Why does it bother us? It bothers us because we think a matter of days and weeks, like human days and weeks. So it appears like a long time. But for God, He looks over the matter of eternity. So what happens that everybody struggles over for 1,000 years, to Him, is just the first phase of making a point. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll discuss those things next year. Is that all right? So you see, there's a reason why I'm saying so. So don't be angry with Noah. Why it's crucial that God lets it happen. You know, just by the way, you know communism? Communism, God watched it thrive for almost 100 years. He wasn't bothered. He said, but by the time you guys finish, when you see communism, even if you hate God, you will hate communism. So now, even China, they are claiming they are communists. You know they are not communists. That's not communism they are practicing. Fidel Castro has confessed that communism doesn't work for Cuba. Fidel Castro. The North Koreans, I'm sure they don't believe in communism. They just have one family keeping everybody in bondage. And when God is ready, He will liberate people. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. So when God lets things strive, a lot of times it is to make His point. It's what the Bible calls the demonstration of what? His righteousness. Now, let me not digress into that too much. Let me sit on the matter of Noah. So Noah, you see, indeed placed a curse on a certain group of people. And chief amongst them are these ones that reside in Africa. Yes. It is not, you know, I've said it several times, and this, I know what I'm saying is true. But why does it bother me to say it? It's because I'm not saying that I am inferior to somebody else. I'm not saying you are inferior. What I am preaching is for you to appreciate what Christ Jesus did. Are you getting my point? That only in Him, all right, is important. That it is only in Him that you have the freedom to be equal to anybody else. It's only Christ Jesus. So, and that's why I'm not angry. You know, I'm not angry. You know, my wife and I were talking yesterday. She was just discussing. You know, we're just talking about things, and said that her father's stepmother has 16 children. I said, you didn't tell me this before I married you. Sure. I'm just finding this one out yesterday. Just gisting. Now, she made the point, of course, her father, she traveled last week. And so I think she and her father were talking, just gisting and all of that. They went for something. And the reason he said that is because then children used to die a lot. Do you understand? Oh, of those 16 children, maybe like half or two-thirds made it into adulthood. So don't think that the woman that has 16 children calling her mother. No. A lot of them die in infancy and all of that. And that my father-in-law's mother had, 12 or so children? And of course, about 4 or 5 died. You understand? And what kills them? From the stories, you know, you now look back, malaria. Malaria. Little things. Diarrhea. Yes. But they were so used to people dying, they knew they had to have plenty of children. That's Africa. And we're telling stories of just about 50, 60, 70 years ago. When she told me, I said, this is why I get angry. When people tell me that white man came to plunder us, it irritates my soul. Now, if you have 16 children, if no armed robber shoots one, and gun, I'm serious, and road traffic accident does not kill another, you are sure that they will live to adulthood. Because malaria ain't getting anyone. These days, where did malaria come from? You give an quarter time, you not go. That is, there are so many drugs that are affordable for 200 naira. When I told my wife, I said, listen, I'm a doctor, right? So I know these things. Number one killer of people in advanced countries, that's children, you'll be surprised, is leukemia. Most of you here don't know what leukemia is.
It occurs here. Do you understand my point? But here, we don't talk much about it. Because there are so many other things queuing up in front to kill people. That leukemia has to wait its turn. But there are very few. Please, are you getting my point? You know, Ogbanje died once white man showed up. Not by prayer. Then what they get Ogbanje spirit. It's only they only exist in white garment churches and in confused churches these days. Which kind of Ogbanje spirit? They give you medicine, all the Ogbanje will disappear from your soul. Now, you get what I'm saying? That's why it annoys me. He said colonial masters. Stop using the word colonial masters. Call them colonial saviors. It's a good name. We should start sending tithes and offerings to this white country for what their grandfathers did for us. They're not colonial masters. They're colonial saviors. And you see people, you know, the other day we went to, from Calabar, I went to River State, I mean, you know, across river. From Calabar, we went, drove, you know, River State is very long. So we drove on Bad Road for like 8 hours to get to Obudu. And I was looking at Nigeria is a blessed country. I was looking at the bush, the thick bush. And I felt like giving an offering to a white man. Why? I said, you mean somebody came when there were no roads and said he's an explorer or a missionary into this jungle? God will find it hard right now to send me anywhere like that. But I'm not, I know you have to put the spirit inside me, so I'm just saying, as I did now, ain't going to jungle for nobody. That's why I never say that Nigeria is rough. Nigeria is rough. I get angry. Say, therefore, we'll run to America. We'll run here. I say, my friend, if David Livingston wakes up, if those men of those days, they wake up, they will beat you very well. I saw the thick tropical riverine forest in Cross River. I look, I said, and one white man got up and came down here. When his people were already manufacturing engines, they already had railroads. And he would be crying. For your information, when Livingston arrived, a lion tore off one of his limbs. Rendered the man paralyzed in one hand for the rest of his life. By the time he was there, I think he had one hand and one eye. Now, I'm bringing on something. So, you now look at those men and you start fighting them. That they came to plunder. If I was God, I would make sure your tongue can't pronounce the word plunder again. They're not colonial masters, they are colonial saviors. According to Gordon's, we're not for Mary Slessor. There will be nothing like P squared. There will be P1. Now Gordon's talked down, comedian. He said, better clap for Mary Slessor because if not does this, P squared for waiting. May go Calabar side. You harvest one of them when they come by his P1. I know that they can't be with sat in. Now tell me that may God bless the white people who came to Africa. They are not colonial masters, they are colonial saviors. But like I said, listen, I can say this thing because you, me, we are fellow, you understand my point. But that's number one. But the most important thing is that the reason why they came was because the Spirit of Christ, believe me, was moving them down to come and give us deliverance. And what I preach, and that's what I'm an apostle of, that's what I teach, that there is deliverance in Christ Jesus. I was on the phone for about 30 minutes with my friend who went on a missionary trip to Uganda. And as he was talking about work and think, hello God, I just said to myself, this is work that we must do. Said, these guys are hungry for the true word. You give them a book, tomorrow morning they finish reading it. That, listen, we need to penetrate literally Africa. I know God came through Nigeria so he can spread this thing properly all over Africa. It's very important. But that's not my message. I get carried away when I get into all those things, all right? Because I don't say he came to plunder. I wish he would come back to plunder some more. Because like I told you before, if the man wants to plunder, he'll build a railroad to where he wants to go and plunder. builds a road to where he wants to go and plunder, builds a hospital where he's plundering, schools for more plundering. By the time he finishes plunder, everybody's well developed. He's a cursed man that eats like a parasite. No, not like a parasite. Parasite are smarter. He eats until he kills the host. All of them die. Boom. You know, once my friend told me a joke. He said there was flood and a scorpion was caught on a small island and water was rising. So he saw the frog swimming by. So he begged Mr. Frog, please give me a lift onto better ground. And frog said, you, scorpion, me, give me a lift. That is risky. You will sting me and I'm dead. And the scorpion said, listen, think about it. If I sting you and you die, what happens to me? I drown. So why should I sting you? And the frog looked at him and said, that makes sense. All right, hop on. So the guy climbed on the scorpion's back, on the frog's back, and the frog started moving. After a while, halfway through the journey, he felt one bad sting. Bang! And the poison began to move into his system. And as he was beginning to lose vision and he was realized that he was dying, he turned to the scorpion. I said, but why? That is, now you two are going to drown. And the scorpion said, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. It's my nature. I couldn't help it. Listen, that's why Christ Jesus didn't come to give us laws. He came to remove that scorpion nature that will sting the very land that's supposed to give us sustenance. We'll kill it. Instead of developing a hospital near home, you rather be giving your brothers money one by one to travel. One day, oh God, man, let me not tell too many stories. One day some people came from Abuja, they couldn't understand us in UNTH. They couldn't understand. Somebody stole an equipment for our radiotherapy unit that was valued at 20 million naira. The problem is not that the value is 20 million, it's that he can't sell it. Do you get my point? It's not the value that was upsetting the men that came from Abuja. They just couldn't understand that whoever took this thing can't sell it. It's useless. And in the whole of Eastern Nigeria, there is not one single radiotherapy center. The only one they are trying to build, one idiot disabled it. Now everybody that needs radiotherapy in Enugu and the environs would have to go to Abuja or Lagos. The people who came from Abuja, they couldn't understand that. Please, please, you guys explain to me what's going on. It's not. See, it's the nature. It's a scorpion spirit. We queue up for treatment abroad. We go to Egypt, South Africa. That's what scorpions do. They'll sting the frog and drown in the process. Listen, my brethren, it's a curse. You get what I'm going to say? It's a serious problem. Like I said, what I'm preaching is that Christ Jesus came to take out that scorpion spirit. And listen, if you understand, if you say you want to, listen, if you don't want to be a preacher, it's not. There are many other jobs to do. In fact, if you want to be a thief, physical thief, you make a lot of money. It's a better way to go and steal than to come and steal on the pulpit. There's more mercy before God. But the thief who's a frank thief, there's no pretending. You understand my point? Now the one that looks like a holy man and starts stealing. What? There's a reason I'm saying so. This job is a risky job. You know why? Because you're a minister of life. The hope for the people you are preaching to is the word of God. God doesn't think it funny for you to corrupt it deliberately. It's not funny. Because that scorpion spirit that we are talking about, this is the only thing that will pull it out. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the solution to the problem so that a scorpion would no longer sting the frog that is rescuing it. That's why we have to preach the gospel and preach it truthfully. We have to. We just have to. Because believe me, that is the solution. It's not plenty talk. It's like You know, and I see people trying to settle quarrel between Arabs and Israelis. I laugh. They have some, there are two scorpions right there. It's their nature. They can't stop, those guys, they can't stop quarreling. If the Arabs don't quarrel with the Jews will quarrel with somebody else. If you remove the Jews, the Arab will quarrel with his neighbor. That's just the way they are. You know, all right? They are not my message. And anyway, they are not my message. But what I'm going to say is that trying to reason people out of what is their nature is impossible. You can only change the nature by the delivery of the true word of God. Are you getting my point? It's as that one enters that it turns the heart of people. And that's why, listen, in Nigeria, you pray for the country, it's very important. But very importantly, pray that God, because that's divine intervention. God doesn't convert everybody. When he has converted enough, what they call remnants, then he starts destroying the opponents to the remnants. That's all he can do. He can't change people by force. Just that he's long-suffering, he waits patiently. How many do we have? They say, we have 3,000. I say, fine, continue walking. Then one day the angels will say, yes, they are now 10,000 serious people who are ready for righteousness. God says, okay, fine, start judgment. Then the angel will draw out his sword and start destroying, scattering. You preserve those people that will be God's people to effect change. Then you will stand against a man. He looks very small and paperless, that he can't harm anybody. But because God has appointed and anointed him as his instrument of change, anybody who stands against him gets beheaded at 12 noon. That's the way God works. He's just watching everybody. They be stealing, I have no problem with stealing. Money can never be properly stolen. It can only be temporarily stolen. When you carry it from here, you put it somewhere. I know where to find it. So don't worry, keep stealing, keep scattering things. Meanwhile, I keep preaching, sending my ministers out to preach. They'll just, okay. What they are doing, the angels are going here and there, talking to people, yeah, come. The preachers are going, declaring the word, the angels are there, yeah, are you one of them? Come. Holy Spirit is moving. Once they are enough, God, you know, there are some, you know, I told you, Apostle Benga said, there are some angels that smoke. So those ones, they are stoning up right now. In one corner, stoning up, waiting. Then when God just says, it is enough, this is how they just do. Phew! Collect a sword. You know, when David sinned, it was sacrifice they used to stop the angel. That is like, your heart small. The guy was just like this, wait. David saw it, oh, yeah, yeah! The guy said, well, me, I'm not saying, no, you know, I don't give it. I don't know you before. I'm not a devil. I'm an angel. Didn't you hear the angel of God? Is that not what he said? Yeah. When he went into Egypt, it was a sweet. See, you know SARS? Yes, Special Anti-Robbery Squad. Some of those guys are not normal people. I'm serious. They like the fact that it's armed robbery. So it gives them opportunity to kill somebody. Then you just say, the people that hear the armed robbers are operating. They quickly dress up and start running down there. Say, hey, praise God. They are just like that. That's what I'm going to say. One of them went into Egypt in one night. In one night, he went to every house and took somebody out. I didn't feel very happy. Those angels, they never die. You know, they don't feel die. They are not out of commission. They hang in one corner of heaven where they are on drugs. You know, according to Apostle Benga. Why am I telling their story? The day God says, okay now, who? They suddenly come out. And you will see calamity after calamity. They're destroying and destroying. I told you, I heard this man teach. What's his name? Jack Hayford. Hayford said, John was crying. Why is the book sealed? He said, don't cry anymore. They broke the seal. When they broke the seal, will you think that, manna will from heaven? No. Wrath rained down from heaven. Trouble rained down from heaven. It's not the book we're crying just now that let them not open, let them open because we want to be blessed. But Hayford said, that's the first round. When God wants to pour forth the blessing, he first goes forth to purge. So all the calamity you are seeing is God purging the land. You get my point? So listen, you can't convert everybody. Those days, people will finish preaching and say, what must we do that we may be delivered from the judgment to come? So what happens is that once the world is going forth, people who are believing are being delivered from the judgment to come. Then when the house is full, they lock the doors, the terrible angels now go out. What they start doing, they start cleansing the way for the elect of God to take their proper places on the earth. You get what I'm saying? What really distresses saints is that sometimes they appear so long. How long, God, will you wait? How long? God said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. I'm counting. I'm putting some things in place. All right, the Lord is good. Anyway, I said all of that to bring out something, all right? That when we're talking about curses, what is it? Do they really exist? And I said to them, I said, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And there are different levels of them, different levels. When we're talking about generational curses, I don't want to emphasize too much on it because I'm going somewhere particularly. Let me say something. When I talk about generational curses, again, they are real things. They are real things. Like I said, some people in the scriptures, they are to be hewers of wood and fetchers of water. Listen, no matter how hard, let me tell you something. If somebody has a curse on his head, no matter how hard he works, bad luck will jam him. Really. You see, for him, it's a destiny. It's not a trial. I don't know whether I get my point. A saint, a child of God, can have a trying time. But when a cursed man, all right, is being afflicted, it's perpetual. Now, I need to say that quickly because it's not struggling hard that brings him into prosperity. It is praying rightly, like Jabez prayed. That's where I'm going. All right? Now, generational causes the exam. I don't have time now today to explain all of that in detail. The next point I want to make is this. Even though they exist, you know, one of the most accursed people around Israel were the Moabites. God didn't like them. That Jericho, God placed a curse on Jericho. In fact, if you see, let me not mix the scriptures now, but there's a scripture in which the children of Israel were banned, all right, from marrying Moabites. They even tell you about their children down to a particular generation. There's a way it is. Are you getting my point? I didn't cross-check my facts now before I came up. I just remembered it. But Ruth was from where? People say, God forget the commandment. Yes, Ruth was from where? Moab. So you think that, did God forget what he said? What's the name of the other? Rahab was from where? Jericho. The reason I'm saying is that even though there's indeed a curse on a whole generation, there's one scripture I was looking for earlier that caused me to delay a bit. All right? But the one I found is that one in Romans chapter 10. They said, when it said, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. That is amongst the Moabites. With all the curses that God rained upon them, if one person will call upon him, he's delivered from the curse. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way God is. When Rahab, amongst the people of Jericho, called out, she was delivered. This is my opinion. Because of Ruth's calling out to God, God didn't see her anymore as a Moabitess. He also saw her as another normal human being, because the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Are you getting my point? He said, as far as it's concerned, there's no difference. That's what I was saying earlier. Africans, they have a serious spiritual problem. But if you teach the truth of the word of God, and men call upon God based upon that truth that's taught, God can't see any difference. He will bless them just as much as he can bless anybody. That, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's the way it works. Yes, generational curses exist. As a matter of fact, they do. I don't have time now to start discussing how they come to be. But they do exist. I'm focusing my teaching. That's why we talked about Jabez. There was something behind Jabez. And what did he do? He simply knelt down and he prayed. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. When Jabez called upon God, God answered him. That's how God... Do you know Ahab? Ahab was wicked. Ahab married, you know, what they call cofactor. Or coenzyme in science. Things that make your enzyme work faster. His cofactor was Jezebel. And he married Jezebel. The two of them combined, did plenty evil. And God was so angry that I'm going to kill everybody. Then Ahab said, but I'm sorry. And God said, hey, did I say I was going to kill Ahab? No, I'm telling you. Even God said, look at how Ahab has humbled himself before me. So he began to modify the judgment immediately. Except that the man did not persist in his repentance. That's the thing about it. After God softened small, he became harder still. So God had no choice but to take him out entirely. Why did I say this? A lot of times people say that, am I cursed? Am I not cursed? Say, listen, do they exist? Yes. But you see, once somebody believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's automatically delivered. I don't believe in special deliverance for him. No, I don't. It's unnecessary. Unless you don't teach him the truth. Now, the problem is that people think when they have one or two problems, you understand, is a sign that they are not blessed, but they are cursed. That is one thing I want to explain again. It's not true. The blessed man, who is a righteous man, must have problems 7 times. Did you hear what I said? The righteous man gets problems how many times? 7 times. Like I said earlier, for a cursed man, his problems, in fact, they don't even start early. They prosper for a while. What's the name of that priest that was with David, who now conspired against David? And then David sacked him as an old man to fulfill the prophecy that was put upon the house of Eli. A righteous and blessed man gets his problems early in life. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, you've seen small people. They join to politics, they join cults, they do so that they can become rich. Don't worry about them. Their poverty will start at the age of 55. Yes, it's prophetic. That's about the time it will start. The righteous man, that guy will blossom when he's young. The righteous man will not blossom so early. By the age of 55, he's so established. You know, there are certain levels of prosperity that God puts you into. Even he, when he wants to change his mind, he finds it harder to just remove you. He doesn't want to disturb the thing that he has done. No, I know what I'm saying. Matter of fact, that's what God does for the righteous people. He gives them problems early. You understand my point? It is good for a young man to bear his problems in the days of his youth. People who have serious problems, they don't bear it then. When he's 35, when he's 30, he's so rich. Every weekend you ask for him, he has gone to London. The following weekend, you ask for him, he's in Los Angeles. After that, and one weekend, he says his wife, she says she needs new scarf. He flies to Dubai to go and buy it. Not in sport. Except that when he's 55, he won't be able to pay fees for children university. Yes, that's the way it is. See, just by the way, today we were in my office, we were discussing and we had a very good laugh. Somebody told me a story of one man who was always harassing his ogre to give him money to help him. So the man wanted to say, stop disturbing, gave him a lot of money for his level, 500,000 naira. I heard it was his true story. So the guy went away with the money, came back next day and returned the safe. So be giving me this money small. Oh God. I can't handle it the way you have arranged it. So, what I'm going to say is that. That is good. You see, what I'm saying is that, look, there's no point envying people that look like they have plenty more than you. No, it's not necessary. God is taking each person through his layers one by one in life until he can handle his own abundant prosperity. Are you getting my point? Now, the people who have curses upon their head, they disturb this order. You see, I said something to you before that, you see, Satan can never give something to you that God did not plan to give you. He doesn't have that capacity. I don't believe he does. I see men who go and join cults and then because they want to make it either in politics or in business, in music. It's not necessary. Whatever, in fact, let's assume Satan comes to offer you, join me, I'll give you $20 billion. Tell him thank you. I appreciate the $20 billion. I say, are you taking? He said, no, I'm not taking. At least now I know what God has planned to give me. The difference is that Satan says, bow to me, I give you now. God says, walk before me and be perfect, and I will give you then. That's God for you. That's the difference. All right? The problem is that what Satan does is that he short circuits that process. So the people who are cursed jump, and you see, God's processes are important. They are crucial for your survival. They are. You know, I told you I had to restrain myself from teaching something that next year we'll discuss it. Let's finish faith basics this year. I said before, Adam creating 10 times, he has to fall 10 times. That's divine order. That's divine order. I read that when I read the book of Deuteronomy. As soon as Moses was about to leave, God called Moses. He said, write a song. Moses about what? He said, as soon as you die, these people are going to go wrong. They will follow other gods. They will follow the gods of the nations. I know. Don't worry about it. Write them a song. Let them learn the song. All their children will cram it. Go and read that song. The song was about how to be delivered from distress. They said, we forsook our God when they had not forsaken him yet. God told Moses, they are going to forsake me. They will go crazy. They will go mad. They will go mental. I will scatter them from here to everywhere. Then they will remember these words of this song, all right? And they will act upon the words of this song. Then they will repent wherever they are. Then they will return. I will gather them, punish their enemies, and reestablish them here. That's God's process. So God is not really worried. Say, Adam fell. He's supposed to fall. He didn't hear that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. When Adam had not been created. For what purpose? For the man who's going to fall. That's how blessed people are. They stumble, yes, very good. The stumbling, the processes, they are necessary, all right, for the person's survival. But Satan said, no, forget that side. Bring money, put upon him. Somebody was telling me today, you know, when you sit down and you are envying people, you know, when we sit down, we are envying people. I've heard the story before, Chris Okotie, in the height of his fame, the thing he desired the most was to jump out of the top of Federal Palace Hotel and die. When everybody was doing the Odomine, everywhere. That, you see, when you hear say, Whitney Houston decided to go on cocaine, don't blame the girl. When I say, don't blame her now, it's nothing about her personally, it's the whole system that she's inside. Somebody just wrote a book, I was told about it today. You know Tiger Woods? One of his girlfriends wrote a book. I said, Tiger Woods is addicted to sleeping pills. You can sit down and be watching, oh, first billionaire sportsman. Said, the man doesn't sleep except you stone him out with sleeping pills. No, Michael Jackson. The way he died was the only way he has slept for a long time. Yes. The man could not sleep. He was paying that doctor, I've forgotten how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a month just to make him sleep. You know, I told you that I was calculating how rich I was. This morning, just to get up was the prayer I was praying. I woke up around 5 o'clock. There was something I was supposed to do. I just stretched small. Next thing I knew was 6:30. Ah, yeah. You get what I'm saying? Listen, when Satan short circuits that God's process, he intends to kill the fellow later. That's all. Because by the time he puts weight upon a man who's not developed to carry it, his legs crumble, he breaks his back, everything. That's the end of the man. That is the end of the man. That's the end of the man.